Baruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Shlach. The shir is said, Lezecher Nishmas Uleili Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their Neshama Torahs have a lichtige, lichtige Gan Eden. As always, it's a big schus to be able to give Parsha Insights. So to those listening here in Gan Ariel, those listening live, and the many will hear the recording when Be'ezus Hashem is sent out, it's always to be a source of chizuk, especially to bring about added kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. However, this week, Parsha Insights will take on an added dimension because of the matziv that Klal Yisrael, and I'm referring to specifically in Eretz Yisrael that we find ourselves in. We here have done many things to try to beseech and pour out our hearts in the very frightening times and the crisis that we find ourselves in, where Klal Yisrael is really in the middle of a war. And so I'd like to give tonight's shir as a schus that Be'ezrus Hashem, some or all of the things that we mention will be things that people use la'avodas habayri, and we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for every yid b'chol mokom shehem to stay safe. And there should be an end to the war, there should be a downfall to the enemy. The most important thing is that it should bring about the greatest ribui kvod shamayim v'rabim, that day that we await for. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yoyim ha'hu yihye Hashem echad u'shemay echad. That's the tachlis, that's the matara, and Be'ezrus Hashem will have that on our mind throughout the shir. For those who have been part of the Shari Tefila family over this past Shabbos, since this segment of the war started 3 a.m. Eretz Yisrael time on Friday morning, we have mentioned many different dvarim to try to bring about the Yeshua, to try to bring about asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Rachamim to all of Klal Yisrael. We of course mentioned that in the Haftorah of this past week in Parshas Bahaloscha, this past Haftorah, the Haftorah famously ends, Ze Devar Hashem, Loi v'chayil v'loi b'choya, ki im beruchi omar Hashem tzevokos. We have to realize that all of our might and all of our strength is only from the spirit of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that will be a theme that Be'ezus Hashem will discuss multiple times. If you've been around the last number of days that I've been speaking, I have been begging and beseeching and imploring the Olam, please, please remember that it's a time to strengthen our emuna and our bitachon and to realize Ein oid milvadoi, Ein oid milvadoi, Ein oid milvadoi. There isn't a force, there isn't a being, there isn't a power, anything in the world other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. It was quite frightening to take a look that in the parasha it speaks about going out to war. The pasuk says, last week's parasha Baloischa, right before Chamishi, when you are waging war in your land, and you're waging the war al hatzar hatzayir eschem, an enemy that seeks to oppress you, as we said in TNT this past week, to seek to oppress and to cause harm to anashim nashim v'taf. We were very, very explicitly clear about it in our TMT. The pasuk then goes on to say again, I'm in Baloischa Perek Yud, pasuk Tes, when you are at war in your land with an enemy who seeks to oppress you, the pasuk says, V'hareyoisem b'chatzoitzrois, V'hareyoisem b'chatzoitzrois. V'hareyoisem b'chatzoitzrois means that you have to have the blast of the trumpet. And I mentioned to the Olam countless times over the last few days, what are we doing to fulfill these words? since we do find ourselves in a situation of v'chisavoyu melchoma ba'artzachem al hatzor hatzor eschem, what are we doing as yechidim and as a tzibur, as individuals and as a community, to fulfill the words v'harayosim b'chatzoytzrois, to sound the blast of the shofar, to sound the blast of the trumpet, to make noise, to make noise, to lift up in Tehillim and in Torah and in Tefillah and in Chesed. What are we doing to fulfill the words v'harayosim b'chatzoytzrois? So let's begin, and we'll dedicate tonight's shir to some of the Dvarim that we spoke out over the last number of days. We'll try to take each one, hopefully in the order that we mentioned them. Firstly, in our TMT that we sent out this past week, we were, Baruch Hashem, very clear that the message we were sharing, it was not my own, but Yedid Nafshi v'Rav Chavivi, Rav Michael Rothschild, of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. I had seen his video. I was so inspired and moved by it. I shared it on our TMT. I was merely saying his words and his thoughts. And he spoke about the fact that he beseeched us this past Shabbos, please make it a Shabbos that is Lashon Hara free. You watched the TMT. You saw how we implored each other and begged each other. A Shabbos that is absolutely, positively, categorically Lashon Hara free, not a word of any type of negative talk. Adarabba, words that are positive, words that speak about being domekav zchut, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, seeing the good, lirois toiv, in a fellow yid. Now, it doesn't mean only Shabbos. It's something we should always strive to do, but specifically we mentioned it for this past Shabbos. We had quoted that he brought from the Chassam Sofer that in December 1805, when Pressburg was under attack from the troops of Napoleon by cannon fire, the Chassam Sofer said that one of the explanations for the cannon fire is the Aveir of Lashon Hara. How is that Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure? Lashon Hara bringing about the firing of a cannon, the Chassam Sofer explained, when one fires a cannon, they shoot it in one area, but the cannonball travels a far distance and does the devastating damage elsewhere. That's the way it is with our Lashon Hara. A person who speaks Lashon Hara, Rechilus Maitzi Shemar, Inayis Dvarim, it might come out of their mouth and be shot from one place, but the devastating damage and sometimes irreparable damage finds itself far, far away, like the cannonball, Mida Keneged Mida. Alachas Kama V'Kama, when there is an enemy that has, Rachmana Litzlam, ballistic missiles that can travel such an extraordinary distance. But isn't that what happens with our Lashon Hara? Isn't that what happens with our words that cause so much pain and anguish? And so we beg everybody to be so careful, as we know Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Kol Tzara, for every Tzara that comes, Ani Yochol Lahatzil Eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can save you. I can save you from every Tzara, every calamity, but Shoit Lashon Techa, they stay away from a prowling tongue. And we said that, of course, it was this past Shabbos, and we asked the Olam specifically to be extremely careful with it at all times, but I did mention specifically on Shabbos Kodesh. Of course, always, but with an added extra emphasis on Shabbos Kodesh, this past one, and all subsequent Shabbosos. And of course, through Adarabba and other programs of the foundation, it's made far easier to focus on the good of a fellow Yid. Why did I put such stress on Shabbos? Because after we mentioned in TMT this shot that Rav Michael said about the importance, remember, not a word, not a word, not a word negative about a person, but only the good, only judging favorably, only the positive. It's something that we can do. But specifically on Shabbos, I brought down Friday night in our pshat before Meiriv. If you take a look in the Ritzei, Ritzei is of course what we add on Shabbos Chodesh. In the middle of the Ritzei, it says, "Sheloi sehetzara v'yoga v'anacha b'yayminu chaseinu." That's usually translated to mean, in its simple sense, we ask Hashem, please, "Sheloi sehetzara v'yoga v'anacha b'yayminu chaseinu." Let there not be any tsar, any yogain, any pain, any groaning, any difficulty b'yayminu chaseinu on our Shabbos Kodesh. I remember years ago seeing there's another way to read this pshat and it's so powerful. These words could also be understood as, we ask Hashem, please, "Shaloi tehetzara v'yogayim v'anacha." Please make it that this upcoming week there not be any tzara, not be any yogayim, not be any anacha. And where does that come from? B'yayiminu chaseinu. It stems from, and it comes from, the way we honor, respect, and revere, and keep Shabbos. Sheloi tehetzara v'yogayim v'anacha, that be'ezus Hashem, the upcoming week, shouldn't have any tzar or yogayim. B'yayiminu chaseinu. Comes from, and stems from, how our Shabbos looks. And that's why we mentioned specifically to bring added Kedusha to our Shabbos, not only through discussing the words of Torah from this year and making sure it's Lashon Hara free, not only from focusing only on the good and being involved in projects like Adarabba, but the more we're able to bring about a Kedusha, a beauty, just as we know we keep Shabbos, Shabbos keeps us, and now we understand the definition. B'yayiminu chaseinu, the way your Shabbos looks, that be'ezras Hashem dictates the upcoming week, sheloi tehetzara v'yavur v'anacha. What a powerful pshat. And that was the second thing that we had begged the Olam, please, kol adam lefi yecholto u'magdrei gosai, every person think about an area that you could improve the Shmirah Shabbos, something special to bring about added Kedusha to Shabbos, so you bring to Klal Yisrael, what are we doing to bring about B'Hariyos and B'Chatzaytzos? I mentioned many things for one reason. When one is at war, they don't try just one thing. They try and they try and they try many things, multiple things. Take out from this shir that when Klal Yisrael is in a matziv of Melchama Ba'artzichem, we have to ask ourselves, B'Hariyosem B'Chatzoytzoyz, what are we doing to make noise? What are we doing to blast the shofar? So far we mentioned the importance of Shmiras HaLashon. We mentioned the importance of bringing about added Kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. In our shir before davening Shabbos morning, which is on the weekly Haftarah, there we mentioned yet a third point. We spoke about the fact that this Haftarah that I just mentioned, where it says, "Lei v'chaya v'lei b'choyach kiyim beruchi," everything is from Hashem. Do you know when this Haftarah is read? Not only the Haftarah b'alayisla, it's also the Haftarah for Shabbos Chanukah. Shabbos Chanukah. And Shabbos Chanukah was a time that there was a victory of Rabin b'yad Ma'atim, Giborim b'yad Chaloshim, a victory that we're looking for now. How extraordinary is it that that Haftarah that speaks about only relying on Hashem is the same Haftarah of Chanukah. And I mentioned in the pre-davening Shir Shabbos morning the third point, and that was that if you take a look in Halacha, when it comes to the lighting of the menorah, one lights a candle, one doesn't light a wick, one doesn't light a large flame, but it has to be a small candle, each one an individual candle has brought down in Halacha. Why is that? Maybe the other would bring about even a nicer flame. One explanation that's given is, Shaloi lovus leketanos. Shaloi lovus leketanos means to teach us, don't discard and don't discredit ketanos, something that's small. You perceive what you did as only being small, you perceive as what you did, I don't know, it seems to be not so meaningful, maybe even a little bit inconsequential. It was just a very small davar. We light the menorah specifically with a small, that it should create the small flame, the small candle, and not something bigger to teach us this lesson, shemay logos l'ketamas, don't discredit and don't discard something that you think you did, and it was only small. And besides, I'm 6,000 miles away. How did that have an impact? The Ribbono shel Olam runs the world, and I beg the Olam Shabbos morning, whatever the Kabbalah is that you take upon yourself, whatever the davar is, a small davar, a davar that's katan, is something that's extraordinary. A davar that you perceive as katan in the blueprint of the world is something that could create a spiritual iron dome. And that was the third concept that we mentioned vis-a-vis the Hariyosim b'chatzoitzreis. Remember, shaloi lovas b'ketanais, whatever you take upon yourself. And by the way, I mentioned, we spoke about trying something. At first you're successful, and a number of times, sheva yipol tzadik, many times you fail. So what was it worth? One time I did it, but seven I couldn't. Do you know what that one time did? Do you know as a result of that one time, perhaps, many of the missiles were redirected or fell where no damage was done? Shemay lovas l'ketanais. Shabbos in the drasha, we brought down such a powerful pshat. I was grateful that you brought it to my attention, a pshat from Rav Zaitchik. And Baruch Hashem, it created a lot of people analyzing it and discussing it. It's so powerful. I'd like to quickly share it with you before we mention a couple other ideas. If you take a look at the end of Parshas Ba'aloyscha, the Pasuk says that Aaron spoke to Moshe and said, I beg you, let there not be a sin upon us. Why not? It says at the end of Ba'aloyscha, Al-Nose Sheis Aleinu Chatos, Asher Noyalnu V'Asher Chatonu. We've been foolish and we have sinned. Rav Zaitchik brings down, and that was at the end of Ba'aloyscha. I know the Olam realizes this week is Parsha Shalach. And I will get to Shalach Be'ezus Hashem in a few minutes, but please, we have to do it in order. Take a look at the end of Ba'aloyscha, where Aaron speaks to his brother and says, don't let there be a sin on us. Asher noyalnu v'asher chotonu, we acted foolishly and we have sinned. Rav Zaitchik says that if you take a look, you don't have to do it now, but please do it at home, in Parshas Bishalach, Perek Tezvov, the 15th Perek, Pasuk Chof. There, when it's speaking about the song of Miriam HaNeviah, it refers to her as Achois Aharon, the sister of Aaron. Again, I'm in Parshas Bishalach, Perek Tezvov, Pasuk Chof. Rashi wonders, but she was also the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why does it call her specifically the sister of Aaron? Rashi gives one explanation, and in the second pshat that we focused on, we said, Dover Acher, why is she called the sister of Aaron specifically? Shemoser Nafshoy Oleha, he was Meiser Nefesh. When she was in Tsar, referring to the Tsar of the Tsairas, in our Parsha Ba'aloyscha, he was Meiser Nefesh for her and because of her. Therefore, Rashi says she is called Achos Aaron, the sister specifically of Aaron and not Moshe. Why? Because he was Meiser Nefesh for her when she had the Tsar of the Tsairas of the Lashon Hara. So Rav Zaitchik asks Akasha, Baruch Hashem, many people thought of this past week. What do you mean? Only Aaron was Meiser Nefesh when Miriam had the Tzairas of speaking Lashon Hara? Meiser Rabbeinu also davened for her. Meiser Rabbeinu called out what may be the shortest tefillah, Kel Marafan Allah, Kel Marafan Allah. Five words, about 11 letters, Kel Marafan Allah, please Hashem heal her. A more desperate, dramatic, intense prayer. So why does Rashi say she's a Chais Aaron? Because he was Meiser Nefesh for her. What about Meiser Rabbeinu's tefillah? So Rav Zaitchik speaks out so beautifully because Aaron did something unusual, a real Mesiras Nefesh. We tend to think that if one day something's not going well, or perhaps the condition of ours isn't met, ooh, I was mamish meiser nefesh. You want to know what Mesiras Nefesh is? He speaks out so beautifully. He, when he spoke to Moshe about the Tzairas and the Lashon Hara, Miriam said, Asher noi alnu, v'asher chotonu. He said it in the plural. We have acted foolishly, and we have sinned. And Rav Zaitchik goes on to say that means that he was willing to take blame. He was willing to make himself guilty and to implicate himself. Now make it clear, as we pointed out after the drasha, yes, there's a sheet in the Gemara that Aaron himself got seiras. And yes, if a person takes a look at the Pasuk says, Vatadaber Miriam v'Aaron, that they both spoke. That's not the point we're addressing. What we're addressing is that when the Torah itself was dealing with the punishment, and when the Torah was dealing with the consequences of the Lashon Hara, for whatever the reason is, the Torah spoke only about Miriam and not about Aaron, vis-a-vis the punishment, vis-a-vis dealing with it, vis-a-vis the consequences, although I just quoted to you the Gemara and I quoted to you this pasuk, but the Torah, for whatever the reason is addressing only Miriam and not Aharon. And yes, says Rav Zaitchik, when Aaron, he could have justifiably avoided whatever it might have been, and yet he was willing to say, Asher Nayahonu, Vasher Chatonu. He was taking blame himself. He was taking guilt himself. He was choosing to implicate himself. Now that's Mesiras Nefesh. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's not just a discomfort or an inconvenience, but accepting the consequences and perhaps even the liability to tie yourself into another and to say, Asher Nayalu, Asher Chatanu, we acted foolishly, we sinned. Well, the Torah only speaks about Miriam referring to that and not Aaron. Now that's Mesiras Nefesh. Memela, she is referred to in Parshas Bereshis as Achos Aharon, the sister of Aaron. And that was the next point we mentioned Shabbos morning. To realize that Klal Yisroel is one guf. It's Asher Nayalnu, Asher Chotonu. We've mentioned many times that someone said, I take umbrage, Hitler, Yemach Shemoy V'Zechoy, did not kill 6 million Jews. He killed one Jew 6 million times. And I beg the Olam in the area of Bein Odom L'Chaveroi to realize the importance of the plural of what Aaron was willing to do, to make himself part of Miriam. We're not 6,000 miles away from Eretz Yisrael, besides the fact that quite literally our brothers, our sisters, and our family are there. We are there. Libi b'Mizrach. There has to be that feeling of we are one. There has to be that bein adam l'chaveiroi, that neisei ba'olam chaveiroi, asher ne'alnu v'asher chatonu, a din mesiras nefesh that made Miriam Achos Aharon because of what he did. And I asked the Olam to take upon themselves something vis-a-vis Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. It might be picking up the phone and making a phone call that you've been avoiding for quite some time. Shabbos afternoon, in our Pirkei Avos shir, we mentioned something that I thought every one of us could tap into and to work on. In this past week's Perek, the Talmidim, the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yechonam ben Zakkai were asked, what's the Derech Toiva, the good path that one should cling to? The five Talmidim gave an answer. And what's the Derech Ra'ah that one should avoid and stay away from? And they all seem to give the answer that was the opposite of the Derech Toiva. When Rabbi Eliezer said that the Derech Toiva is Ayin Toiva, obviously he mentioned in the Derech Ra'ah, what's the opposite of an Ayin Toiva, good eye? Ayin Ra'ah. Similarly, when Rabbi Yeshua mentioned that the correct path to choose is Chavar Tov, he obviously mentioned that the path to stay away from was Chavar Ra, each one being the exact opposite, the antithesis of the first. When Rabbi Yossi mentioned that the proper path is one of a Shachin Tov, a good neighbor, when he was asked what to stay away from, he said a Shachin Ra, a bad neighbor. When Rabbi Lozer was asked for the good path, he said a Lev Tov, and what's the opposite of that? He said a Lev Ra. The one that doesn't seem to follow this pattern as all, you surely remember we mentioned that this past Shabbos in Birkei Avos, is Reb Shimon. When Reb Shimon was asked for the path that's good, he said, Haroye es hanoilad. Haroye es hanoilad means to prepare in advance, to look in advance, to properly prepare. When he was asked, what's the opposite of that? What should you stay away from? He didn't answer one who doesn't prepare. He answered, Haloive ve'ena mishalem. Someone who borrows and doesn't pay back. Who's talking about the NASDAQ or the stock exchange or a financial agreement or a piece of advice? Just like the other four answer the exact opposite. The opposite of an ayin tov is an ayin ra. The opposite of a lev tov is a lev ra. The opposite of a shachin tov is a shachin ra. The opposite of a chaver tov is a chaver ra. So why here, when he was asked for the opposite of haroyas hanoila, that you prepare and plan in advance, did he say, haloyla ve'ena mishalim, you pay, you borrow and don't pay back? That seems to be financial comment. So I had suggested perhaps we're not understanding haloyla ve'ena mishalim correctly. Haloyla ve'ena mishalim is not the NASDAQ or the stock exchange or a 401k. Or maybe it is a 401k in terms of planning in advance. Haloyve v'ene mishalim isn't talking about money only, it means Hashem lends us so much. We constantly borrow from Him. V'ene mishalim, and you don't pay Him back? That's indeed the opposite of Haroyas Hanoilad. Haroyas Hanoilad means that I think about all the gifts that I have. I think about all the kaychais, the talents, the abilities, the capabilities, and I try to utilize them, sometimes successfully and sometimes not successfully. But I try. The opposite of a person who's not Royas Hanoilad, who is Royas Hanoilad, the opposite is Loiva Ve'ena Mishalim. You borrow from Hashem and you borrow from Hashem all the gifts, all the goodness, all the brachas, all the talents, all the abilities, all the capabilities. Ve'ena Mishalim, but you did nothing to pay him back. You did nothing to pay him back to utilize, to appreciate to the fullest those gifts. So yes, I think we could say properly, Haloiva Ve'ena Mishalim is the opposite of Haroyas Hanoilad. For Haroyas Hanoilad means that you appreciate and you utilize those gifts. And Leiva Ve'ena Mishalim, as I understand it, means you borrow and you borrow and you borrow Ve'ena Mishalim, and you did nothing to pay him back, meaning you squandered the opportunities. And so that was the next suggestion, to realize all of the goodness, the atava, the brachos that we have in our life, specifically at a time of war. I beg the Olam to have greater kavana in Moida Ani and in Moidim, greater kavana in Mizmor L'Soida and in all of the Hallelukas, greater kavana in Aleinu, greater kavana in all of the brachos that thank Hashem, specifically at a time of war. Don't be the person that's Leiva Ve'ena Mishalim, that doesn't appreciate or pay back. Be the one that says, I'll take all of the goodness, all of the Hatava. The last few days we've been hearing stories of Nisim and Neflois, of extraordinary, extraordinary proportions. I'm not talking about those who have been injured and those Rachman Oslan have passed away and for davening, we're begging, we're storming Shemayim. But we also must be aware and cognizant in a tangible sense of the Nisim and the place. And that was the next suggestion that we had made Shabbos afternoon. Specifically at this time, let us put more Kavana and more emphasis on our Moida Ani and on the Moidim and the Moidim the Rabbonin and all of the Halukas and the Mizmor the Soida and Aleinu and the Birchos Haida'a. Thank the Rebbeinu Shleim for all of the goodness, all of the Atava for the Nisim, the Nefois, that we're not even aware of it. And that's what is Baron Shechter, Zecher Tzadik Kosher Bracha, once told me, Hashem will continue to shower the goodness upon those who appreciate his gifts. And finally, one last thought on Parsha Shalach. So imagine somebody's going to be listening to this entire shiur of over half an hour and wonder, is this Baloisk or Shalach? But that means they didn't listen from the beginning, right? One pshat from Parsha Shalach, I'm grateful. I saw it in Avnei Kodesh Classics and Beyond, the second volume. There's really a number of pshatim that if time would allow, I would mention, but I'm only going to say one final pshat, which I think perhaps takes all of the suggestions we've made until now and brings it together in one. If you take a look at the end of the parsha, Perek Tezvov, you'll see at the end of Shlach, right after Shishi begins, it talks about Chala. Chala Sa'isa, the part of dough that's separated before the baking and given to the Kohen. There's a fabulous pshat. If you take a look, the pasuk compares it to Truma. Why is it compared to Truma? There's a beautiful pshat. But we'll go to the second part that's brought down. If one takes a look, right after the mitzvah of challah, in the next number of psukim, you see the Torah speaks about the law of par avodah zarah, the chatos, the sin offering that's brought by Sanhedrin. If they issued an erroneous ruling regarding something of avodah zarah, idolatry. And the Medrash there explains why. Why does it go from the parsha of challah to the parsha of Paravoida Zara? What's the shayachos and the juxtaposition? So the Medrash tells us in Vayikra Rabbah, not giving chala is like performing Avoida Zara idolatry, which means a person who neglects to fulfill the mitzvah of chala is as if he performed Avoida Zara. Why? What do they have in common? What's the shayachos between the two? The Avnei Kodesh brings down so beautifully, citing different svarim, and I'm grateful to you, Rabbi Buchsbaum, for bringing it to my attention. If you take a look at a farmer who's so heavily involved in all of the growth of everything that the field produces, he has a very clear understanding of all, where all of the food items come from. He worked the field, he tilled the field, he planted, he reaped, he harvested. He knows without the Ribbono Shel Olam there wouldn't be a crop. Nothing would have happened. Everything is beyond him. He realizes that all of the bracha comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no self-sufficiency. In fact, Chazal call Seder Zeroyim. We have in Shisha Sidri Mishnah six Sedarim. Seder Zrayim, which discusses to a great degree farming, is called the Sefer, the Seder of Emunais, of faith, as we just spoke out so beautifully, because a person who's involved in the planting and the agriculture and the farming and the growth, that person who's involved in Zrayim certainly understands Emunah B'Hashem. He develops emunah in Hashem, bitachon in Hashem, faith in Hashem, trust in Hashem. He is keenly aware that all of the bounty that he has is really from him with a capital H. Obviously, and therefore it's called emunais as well. So quoting the Birchas Yitzchok, he says so beautifully, when a person, and this ties it in to the fact that we said, challah and truma are equated with each other in the Pasuk, and then the Parah Avodah Zarah that I mentioned. Why Challah and Truma, he says so beautifully. When it comes to giving of Truma, Truma is the first of the gifts. So the farmer knows when it comes to the first of the gifts where the credit really goes. It's almost like he gives the Truma instinctively, because now he's giving the Truma right away in the beginning, after he's looking at all of the miracles, all the things that no one else other than the Ribbono Shel Olam could possibly create. Obviously, all of the miracles of everything of the ground and the growth and the farming and the planting and the tilling and the reaping and the harvesting. Of course he gives Truma Hashem, because instinctively he knows that obviously everything and all the bounty is only from Hashem. But now let's go to the end process, Challah. Challah is not like Truma, the very first process. Challah is the last one. The growing is finished. The harvesting is finished. In fact, I have the flour in my house. It doesn't even have to be that I work the flour. A baker, someone who went ahead and merely purchased it from the store, that baker or the person that has it in their home is also bound by the laws of Challah, but to him, it's not as apparent. He didn't do all of the work. He didn't do all of those steps. This is the last process, and so to him, unlike the farmer, it's much, much less apparent that this was from the Ribbono Shel Olam's in it. He might start thinking, it was my success, my ability. Maybe there was no need, Cholila, for Hashem, the Mela. That's why we have Challah together with Truma, to remind us how just like we appreciate the dependency on Hashem and His involvement when it's so evident, we have to have that same dependency and appreciation even if to us it's not evident. And that's, by the way, what he says it means, that if a person doesn't keep the laws of Challah, not giving the Challah, it's considered like he performed Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Why? Because when a person worships Avodah Zarah, what is he essentially doing, Rachmana Litzlan? He's not accepting Hashem. He's not accepting the one power. He's not accepting that Hashem is the source for everything in the world. The gift of Challah reminds us that even when it seems that actions or successes may have been done by man, but the role of Hashem can never, ever be overlooked or dismissed. And it might be for the baker to remember, Hashem is the one who allowed it. Hashem is the one who enabled it. And that's why it says so beautifully, Challah is next to par of Avodah Zarah. For one who worships idols is essentially not recognizing that Hashem is the source for everything. When one doesn't give Challah, because to them, oh, it's not so apparent, it's not so clear, there's a little self-dependency. There's a little bit of that person thinking the self-sufficiency. That is comparable to worshiping Avodah Zarah. And that's why Challah is placed next to Truma, to remind us, just like by Truma, it's abundantly clear, everything is from Hashem. Challah, the last step, even when it's not as clear, we have to realize everything is from Hashem, and that might be the most important lesson to remind ourselves of. Yes, we started off speaking about the importance of Shmiras HaLashon and Shoit Lashon Teichaveh. And of course, we mentioned the importance of B'yayminu Chaseinu, how our Shabbos looks. Of course, we spoke about Shalei Lovas L'Ketanais, the importance of even something you think is small or perhaps inconsequential. We mentioned Asher Nayalnu V'Asher Chatonu, the importance of connecting. We are one Yid, and that's Naisei Ba'olam Chaveiroi, as Aharon did for his sister Miriam. We mentioned not to be the person that's Leiv Aveinu Mishalim, but rather at this time, look at the gifts, look at the goodness, appreciate, and speak about it, as we mentioned in some of the different tefillos. And finally, the lesson of the Challah and Truma and the Parah Avodah Zarah. Everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is a time for us to strengthen our emunah and our bitachon, and to realize not only moments in the war that seem to us to be the truma moments, so clear and so obvious, the Yad Hashem, but even something that we might perceive, so to speak, as the chala moments, where we might think that a bus of a dumb or some person had any involvement in what took place. Everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, decisions that people make. Every aspect of the Mechama is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to acknowledge that not only, as I said a moment ago, in the Truma moments of the war, but in the Chala moments of the war as well. Don't let it be, oh, did you see the self-sufficiency, the self-dependency, and start giving might and credit wherever it might be. Hashem Ish Mechama, Hashem Shemai. Hashem Ish Mechama. Hashem is the master of war. I beg the Olam to realize everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eilonu Amili Shoyin Elash Avinu Shebashamayim. We have nowhere to turn and to daven and to beseech other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why we've been saying that the Tehillim, as mentioned by the Mayetzes Gedolei HaTorah, may it be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our Tehillim, our heartfelt tefillos, our Torah learning, our chesed, and most importantly, our emunah and bitachon, that everything, ein oid milvadoi, let us see the day. Everyone should be'ezras Hashem, stay safe. Let us see the day of Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael to go. Me'afela le'argodol, mishibur le'geula. We end with the day that we started with, that day of Lohoya Hashem le'melech al kol ha'aretz. Bayoim ha'hu yihyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. May it happen be'ezras Hashem now.